Good evening, church. We start our second lesson in our series, Becoming a Warrior of Prayer, or a Prayer Warrior. And I hope that this morning you were blessed by and God encouraged you through His Word. And we looked at three things this morning with regard to what you and I should be mindful of as we approach the throne of grace. We've got to constantly be mindful of how great God is, acknowledge His greatness. We've got to be mindful of His grace, and we've got to be mindful of His goodness. And those were the three things this morning that we needed to be aware of as we approach the throne of God. This evening we're going to look at Solomon and his life, and the way Solomon prays and addresses God. This morning we know we looked at David, and we saw the promises made to David. And now we're going to see those promises obviously fulfilled in Solomon, and then Solomon's address toward God. But isn't it funny how often within our life we're so very good at asking God for things? I mean, after all, church, isn't that what prayer is all about? Okay? But we're so good at asking God, and we know exactly where to go, who to go to, and how to ask for things when we need them. And we're always constantly asking God to get us out of this issue or to bless us with this, etc., etc. But isn't it interesting that as much as what we know to ask God for things, how often do we thank Him for the things that we have? See, we're so focused on the things we don't have. We're so focused on the things we need. And so when we go to the altar and we kneel before God, the first thing that comes out of our mouths, more than likely, is, God, I need. God, I need. Whether it's I need you or whatever it might be, but it's I need. Can you show me favor now? Instead of the approach that we should have is, God, thank you for who I am in you. Amen. I was reading through an article this week, and it was interesting the illustration that this guy used. And in this illustration, he talks about this guy who was a hunter, and he was on his hunt, and he's hunting this bear, and he gets to a point where he can't walk anymore, so he's got to climb, and as he climbs up and climbs up and climbs up this mountain top, as he gets almost to the top, he kind of meets this bear, and the bear's looking directly at him, and because of, the bear looking at him and then growling at him, he got a fright and he went tumbling down. He lost his gun. As he hits the ground, he realizes his leg's broken and there's nothing he can do. He's not a religious man, but at this point, you know how it goes. He calls out to God and he says, God, please, can you just make this bear into a Christian? You know, and I promise you that, you know, whatever lot you have in store for my life, I'll accept. And so as this bear comes down the hill towards him, the bear stops, looks up into heaven, and he says a prayer. And he says, God, please bless the food that I'm about to receive. Now, that was a really stupid joke, but irrespective of that, the point of it is that we're so good at asking God for things. And even when we haven't been faithful, right? And I want us to look at the way Solomon addresses God, the way he approaches God in constant and total faith. In fact, let's go to the text right now of 1 Kings chapter 8. And what we're going to find, if you look at the text 14 times in this chapter, Solomon doesn't ask God for anything. Yes, he uses the word hear, so he says, God, will you please hear what I'm saying? But he's not asking for anything outside of God's will. He's just asking God to acknowledge what he's saying. And I want you to see as we work through the text, the reason, I believe, obviously, why Solomon can address God in this manner. And so the first part of our lesson this evening is the text that Mike read for us, verses 22 through to 26. And we see as Solomon addresses God, we see that God is faithful in keeping His promises. God is faithful, and faithful specifically in the context here to the family. Remember God made a promise in our story this morning about David. He made a promise to David of how this legacy will continue through Solomon. And so God, whenever we approach God, we've got to approach God in such a way that we know that He knows who we are. That He knows our need, what we need. He knows our desires. He knows all of us. And we've also got to approach Him in such a way that we understand that His promises are true. Church, you still with me? So the minute I speak to God and I address Him, I don't have a doubt of who He is, what He's able to do in my life. And so I'm actually just going there and being thankful for the fact that He's my God. Amen? And this is what Solomon brings out here in the text. Look at verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven. He said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven, above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant, showing loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant, my father David, that which you have promised him. Indeed, you have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Remember, he's just finished building the temple. Verse 25, Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you have promised him, saying, You shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your sons take heed to their way to walk before me as you have walked. 26, Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word, I pray, be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant, my father David. As I said, people spend more time asking God for things than giving Him thanks. And Solomon's prayer was a prayer in the right direction. I want you to note, as he begins to talk to God, there's the total adoration of God's awesomeness. And there's an attitude of reverence. And then it's interesting, it's as though he's reminding God of the promise that God has made to him. Through, obviously, to David, which obviously he's benefiting from now. And this shows a confidence that he has within God. And he's seen it within his life. You still with me? He's just completed the temple. God promised David that Solomon would build the temple. And this legacy would continue through Solomon. And he also states in the text there that he won't take this kingdom away from Solomon as he did with Saul. Do you remember that? And so Solomon is addressing God in a very interesting way. But look at verse 23 again. He says, There is no God like you in heaven or on earth beneath, who keeps his covenant, shows loving kindness to his servants, who walk before him with all their heart. Solomon understood God's promises and he understood how faithful God was. And God did everything because of his faithfulness. That's something we've got to understand in our walk with God. He doesn't do anything because of who we are and what we are able to do. But what he does is because of who he is. Church, you still with me? Because of who he is. That is why God does what he does. We have no bearing on in other words, it's not our intelligence, it's not our good deeds. It's just because of God's faithfulness, because of who he is, that he brings about blessing within our life. I want you to note, as you look through the text here, I've made a note here, the word promise in the Hebrew, or the word spoke, depending on how it's translated in your text, is translated 7 times in this text. The word kept, with regard to keeping God's promises, 3 times. The word my father, or the phrase my father, 7 times. Your servant David, 3 times. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Solomon knows God's word. He knows his word, he knows his promise, and that's what's carrying him through. That's why he's able to address God with confidence. Now, let me ask you this evening. How many of us know God's word? We may not know it completely, but we know it, right? And we know that there are so many promises that God gives to us within his word that we see throughout the legacy that has been left for us through all the men and women of God, right? And so because we know that, and constantly seeing God blessing us in our own lives, if we look back at our life and where we're at right now, that should be a testimony for when I go to God that I'm going to him with thanksgiving and purely in faith. Right, church? And that's how it has to always be when I drop down and speak to the God of all creation. And verse 25 is key here because he reminds God, or makes God know, that he knows about the promise that God has made. Second point, God is forgiving. So we know that he's a faithful God, but he's also a forgiving God, and specifically when it comes to his people. Let's look at verses 30 through 34 now. Listen to the supplication of your servant. And there the word hear or listen is once again revealed to us. And of your people Israel, when they pray toward this place, hear in heaven your dwelling place, hear and forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath, and he comes and takes an oath before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servant, condemning the wicked by bringing his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. 33. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, if they turn to you again and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this house, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. So God is a very forgiving God, but forgiveness doesn't come cheap. Forgiveness doesn't just happen. And it's interesting, isn't it, as you look at the way Solomon again addresses God. He's not asking God at any point to give him a free ticket or a free pass. Church, you with me? Just because he's a child of God and God is his God, he's not asking God to overlook anything within his life. He's not asking God to drop God's standards in order for him to benefit or be blessed. Church, you with me? Very important fact for us to note this evening. Look at how he speaks. He's saying, if we've done wrong, then deal with us, God. Deal with us. Yes, we want you to bless us. Yes, we want to be your people. Yes, we want to shine. But God, if we've done wrong, then you must deal with us. Still with me? Interesting, isn't it? What is our response to God when we've messed up? God, forgive me. God, if you can just, I know I've messed up, but if you could just overlook this, if this could just go away, I promise you I'll love the way I need to. Right, church? And yes, Solomon's saying, you know, God, if I've messed up, you need to deal with me. Because I want to be in your presence always. And if you're disciplining me and you're dealing with me, in whichever way you need to, is going to ensure that I make the mark, then God, do as you must. You are God. Your laws are righteous.
And here again, it's another note that's been made. The word favor or plea is revealed 7 times in this chapter. The word forgiveness or forgive 5 times in this chapter. The word repentance 5 times. The word return, 6 times. The word repent, 3 times. The word confess, 2.
So Solomon is very aware of the fact that man does mess up. That man does sin. In fact, he knows within his own life that he hasn't lived necessarily the way that he needed to. David didn't live the way he needed to. But what was the defining factor where God could say this is a man after my own heart, was because of their persistence to want to be better. Church, you with me? And never to cut corners, but to address the matters at hand. And this is what Solomon does.
He doesn't try and cut corners. He doesn't try and get a free pass. He doesn't ask God to overlook the sin. Look at verse 31. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath, and he comes and takes an oath before your altar in this house, 32, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servant, condemning the wicked by bringing his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. See? This is what he's saying. He's saying
that God, we know we're not perfect. And as we read on, the idea that he's bringing across here, I believe, is simply this. He's saying that God, if there's anyone who has a penitent heart, will you hear him? Will you hear him? Will you turn? And will you bring about victory within his life? That's what he's saying. Not ever asking God to overlook it. And this was such a shocker for me as I worked through this lesson, was because I thought, Sherman, this is what you do. You ask God to cut corners for you sometimes, or you want to cut corners. And you pray in such a way that's almost against or in contrary to God's will, and you know that, but because your desire is so big, you ask it anyway. And that really got me thinking about how we need to change the way we pray, the way we address our God. Amen?
Alright, so we know that God is a faithful God, and when we approach Him, we need to approach Him with that confidence, knowing that He'll take care of our needs, knowing what His promises say. We also need to remember that He is a God who is forgiving, and forgiving of His people when His people are repentant. Amen? And so when you address God, understand that He knows why you're coming to Him. Third point, God is a fair God. Yep, our God is a fair God. Even when He disciplines us, He's a fair God. We may not like it, we may not think He's being fair, because remember, it's always got to be smooth sailing for us, then God's a fair God, right? And yet, God is a fair God, irrespective of what we may or may not think. Let's look at verses 41 and through to 43 now. Also concerning the foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, when he comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name, to fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. Solomon prays that God's glory and His fairness not only be shown, but be revealed before all. This is his prayer. And when we pray, do we have the same attitude as, God, I want your glory to be shown and to be evident among all people within this earth. Those who know you and those who don't know you. And let me tell you why this is so important for us to pray, but also to be mindful of. Because when we're going to pray in that way, do you know how God is going to reveal His glory? Through what means? You. He's going to reveal His glory through you. Isn't that incredible? So maybe that's why we don't often pray in that way. Because we know that sometimes when God reveals His glory, it's not always comfortable. It means me putting aside what I want. It means me focusing more on what God desires of me and the man or the woman that I need to be for God. Look at verse 40. That they may fear you all the days. Fear, the idea of reverence. Fear you all the days that they live in the land which you have given to our fathers. So God is a fair God, even to foreigners. He's praying for foreigners here. And isn't it interesting? Who was his grandmother?
Ruth. Do you remember? And in Ruth chapter 2, she refers to herself as a foreigner when she addresses Boaz. But isn't it interesting that he's not just thinking about Israel? He's thinking about people who are not part of God's kingdom. But it's also interesting that throughout the Jewish law, Jewish custom, tradition, that foreigners were always treated well. Or they always had a fair chance to establish themselves in whichever means it may be. Whether it be in trade, whether it be an opportunity to become a Jew. And God is big on the aspect of the foreigner. Do you know that in the book of Exodus, as they continue through the desert, God reveals 5 times in different chapters, God reveals to them the aspect that they are foreigners. Or they were foreigners in Egypt. Making them mindful of how merciful and how gracious and fair God is also to those who do not know Him. And that got me thinking about our heart and our focus toward people who are not within the church. People who don't know Him. People who don't know how to act. And what our response toward them ought to be.
Go with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Let's look at verse 33. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. Do you see that? When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. See, God is big in the aspect of fairness.
And our attitude toward those outside, not only inside but outside the church, should be one of mercy as well. And we should be very patient with those people, even though sometimes we just want to lash out at them. Because God is big on bringing people to Him. But here's the thing. Are we not also described as foreigners, church? We're in a land that we don't belong in. We're in a place that is not our home. And the book of 1 Peter teaches us that, right? We're sojourners, we're strangers, we're foreigners. And God is merciful to us in this world that is not ours, knowing that we are going to struggle, knowing that we have a disadvantage at times, therefore giving us Christ in order to more than equal the playing fields. Amen? And so I want us to note this evening as we look at the way Solomon addresses God, is that he goes to God knowing that God is, church, what's the first point? God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Right. He goes to God knowing that God forgives. Amen. That God is a forgiving God. And then he goes to God knowing that God is a fair God. That God listens, he hears, but that he also responds all the time. Amen. And if we can have this attitude and this confidence as we approach the throne of grace, I think our prayer lives are going to become absolutely dynamic. We've looked at two people so far. We've looked at David and the heart that David has. We looked at Solomon and the way Solomon addresses God, his heart. Isn't it interesting that both these men, as we look at the way they've prayed and we look at their hearts, there's a defining factor here, and that is that whenever they're praying to God, they're praying wholeheartedly. When Solomon addresses God, if you read through the whole chapter, he brings about the idea of wholeheartedness, not only within himself, but within the very nation of Israel. And that's very important for us to know, that when we're approaching God, that everything's got to be approaching God. Amen? He talks about us loving Him with everything that we are. And in the same way, when we address Him, may it be with everything that we are. And may we lay it down. I've loved looking at these two stories. And I hope that next week when we look at Hezekiah's prayer, that you too will be blessed by that. But I pray that as you go this week, that God will strengthen you, that He'll empower you, and that you begin to really grow within your prayer life and have the attitude that both these men have shown us we ought to have when addressing the Most High. Amen? Let's stand and sing.